All right, our next speaker is Shane Henry, who is bravely handling this next session solo. Shane is a litigation partner in the Austin and Bay Area offices of Kirkland & Ellis. His practice focuses on commercial and intellectual property litigation in state and federal courts on behalf of a range of clients, including Google, Facebook, or Meta, Comcast, Hulu, Twitter, Coherus Biosciences, 24 Hour Fitness, 3M, Juul, Walmart, and numerous technology startups and private equity companies. Shane's pro bono practice includes cases involving LGBT, disability, veteran, and asylum rights. And I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you for that introduction. Good morning.
Almost afternoon now. I think I have about 30 minutes with you to cover these two topics, which is privacy litigation related to websites and accessibility litigation related to websites. There are entire courses on these subjects, obviously, so I'm just going to hit it at a high level and talk about the general background and legal framework for these two types of litigation, and then some of the trends that we're seeing in recent years, and especially in 2022 and so far in 2023. So as I said, I'll address accessibility first, and then we'll talk about website and internet privacy litigation. So first on accessibility, I think that, you know, understanding the background of accessibility litigation around websites and the internet is important to contextualize the trends. But starting off at a high level, what is an inaccessible website? That is a great question. It's one that defense counsel grapples with all the time in accessibility litigation. And there are myriad different ways that a website can be considered inaccessible because there's no real universal legal standard about accessibility. But for a website, it can include a number of things like poor color contrast on the website, which makes it difficult for individuals who are visually impaired to navigate the website. Similarly, the use of color alone to convey information. The lack of text alternatives on images. Not having captions on videos, that's obviously a common and obvious one, but surprisingly a large number of websites still have videos that they play and have embedded and they don't have captions. Similarly, for individuals who are visually impaired, not having auditory explanations about what's happening on a video outside of just what's being said maybe by individuals in the video. If there's no there's no audible explanation about what is happening in a video, it can make it difficult for individuals to understand what's happening, and they may miss out on important information that isn't just individuals in a video talking. Other common ways that websites have been found to be inaccessible to individuals with disabilities includes online forms that don't work properly. We've all experienced this, I'm sure, where you're populating a form, trying to put in your first name, but it won't take your first name, so then you can't move on to your last name. Those kinds of problems with the coding of a website are amplified for individuals with disabilities. And mouse-only navigation, for example, not websites that don't allow for screen readers and other types of technology to navigate the website. This is, really the tip of the iceberg. I could go on probably for an hour about the different types of issues that that businesses face and are sued over, including, the way that you can have duplicative links. If you have several links that have the same, are worded the same, that can make it difficult for individuals who are visually impaired to navigate the website through screen readers. There's a real laundry list. At the federal level, inaccessibility is addressed through the Americans with Disabilities Act, which prohibits discrimination against people with disabilities in here, what's relevant is public accommodations. And Title III of the ADA, it requires a person owning, leasing, or operating a place of public accommodation. It prohibits them from discriminating against an individual with a disability regarding the full and equal enjoyment of goods and services.